brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone. Here we are yet again Sud segment where we feel good beer is best paired with bad accents and long belches.
For me.
A lot of coordination there with the production team. I'm telling you.
Sound effects guy or
something? Stellar, Dave.
Got to get Dave up off the couch first.
Yeah.
We are focused and ready.
Really?
Focused. Well, I am one of your hostesses, good old gal Juliana, and joining me at the table today
is your other hostess.
Well, we got lots.
Boy Mike.
Yes.
Hey, everybody. Hi. In spite of what Dave says, I am very happy to be here today.
Yay. Reverend Mark.
Always a pleasure. Good to see everybody.
I almost talked into the microphone from the
90% there.
And we got a special guest today. Reverend Mark, I think you should introduce the special guest.
My best and better half always, the lovely Catherine, or Kat.
Thank Yay. You. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the show. Hopefully you'll stick around and come back.
I'm only here for the beer.
Good old boy, Dave.
I sometimes can't control my sphincter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That says a bit at all.
It does, doesn't it?
He has medication for that. And a special school.
Ointment.
In a special room.
Yep. Yes. Dave's in the short bus again.
Special underwear.
Well, today's episode is a brewery takeover of Blue Earl Brewing Company in Smyrna, Delaware. Reverend Mark and good old gal Kat stopped by the brewery on a recent road trip to the first state and brought us back some beer. They'll tell us about their visit. But first, good old boy Dave, why don't you give us some background on Blue Earl Brewing?
Oh, my goodness.
All right, here we go.
There are so many big words.
I'm going to read words.
He's going to get wrong in this. I am betting at least $7.
Can you turn down microphone number 3?
Half this right. Could you at least get the right number of R's in Earl?
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Blue Earl Brewing Company in Delaware's 7th microbrewery located in the historic town of Smyrna, Delaware. Why is Smyrna, Delaware historic, Kat?
Darn if I know. Okay. All right.
That's fair.
Maybe
that's
the fair. Stained
such
glass
a thing
as
non-historic. Like there was nothing ever there
nothing
before.
Nothing ever happened here.
Yes.
The founder, Ronnie Blue Earl Price, is a man of simple tastes, always on the hunt for great music, gourmet food, and exceptional craft beer. Two of those are not really classified as simple tastes, but whatever. The simplicity of the blues had always drawn him in. The soulfulness, the earthiness of the style made him feel good inside. Barbecue is to food as blues is to music, he would always say. Nothing fast about the blues or barbecue. Too fast with the blues and you lose the feeling. Too fast with the barbecue and, well, it just ain't no good.
It's from Alabama then.
It's got that white sauce on it.
Yep.
Finding a good beer had always been a challenge. American beers had lost all their former goodness with mass production and mass marketing. They had lost the feeling. He decided that if it couldn't be bought, he would just have to brew it himself.
Hmm.
And so he did. For many years, he tweaked his recipes and shared his brews with family and friends, winning awards and praise among his friends in the home brewing community. His passion for brewing became an obsession, and that obsession turned into the desire to bring these wonderful libations to the public.
Sounds obsessed. Eh,
libation. See, I said that one, right?
Yeah, you did.
It wasn't easy getting started, but one by one, The barriers have been brought down, and we are now very proud to offer you, our friends and loyal fans, Blue Earl beers. Mm. Blue Earl produces hoppy American ales, Belgian specialties, German ales and lagers, and an ever-changing variety of seasonal.
It's a lot offerings. Going on, man.
Yep.
It's a lot of different yeasts and different techniques, and you know, that's a lot to pull off, especially just because you're obsessed. Or obsessive.
Most homebrewers become obsessed.
That's the mark of a homebrewer.
Yeah.
Scaling it up.
Yeah.
Scaling it up.
Okay, quick little fun fact about Smyrna, Delaware, and why it may be historic. It was first settled prior to the American Revolution on the southern banks of the Duck Creek. And initially, it wasn't even called Smyrna. It was called Duck Creek Crossroads. Then later in the, looks like the 1800s?
No. I know that first part went. What it is they had somebody in the back of the boat, a little kid, going, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And boom, they said, you're definitely here. And this is where we're going to settle down.
Founded by one irritating one child left behind.
Well, actually, no. In 1806, it was named after the ancient Greek seaport of Smyrna, which is now in present-day Turkey.
Ah, that's horse hockey. I don't think so.
So there's that. And see, and I was thinking maybe it was like a sister city to Smyrna, Tennessee.
No. That's way too much. No.
All right, fine. I tried.
Bless your heart, child.
Wow. Don't you talk that way to my Southern Belle, sir.
Okay.
It's an inside joke.
Hey, Reverend Mark, why don't you give us today's lineup?
I'll be glad to. The Blue Earl Brewing Company beers that we're going to be tasting today are, first, their Diamond State Lager. It's an American Pilsner at 4% ABV, 28 IBUs. The next one will be their Honeysuckle Rose. It's a Belgian-style blonde ale. ABV 7.1, it's pushing it a bit, but nice, and IBUs of 22. The next one, it's a throwback from my teenage days, Clockwork Orange.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Stanley Kubrick special. Fresh orange juice pale ale, 4.9% ABV and 10 IBUs. And then the next one would be the Hazy at Heart IPA. It is a session IPA at 5% ABV and 20 IBUs. And then to round this one up, a biggie, the Bourbon Barrel Imperial Stout, 12.4% ABV and 62 IBUs.
12% just wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It sounds like an Earl beer.
Sounds like a polka song to me.
And so it could be, if we have time, there will be one more from Blue Earl that we'll bring up to discuss. But for now, that's our lineup.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Reverend Mark.
Thank you.
You.
Yo.
Yo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yo.
Thank you.
Yo.
It's getting there.
All right. Good old boy, Mike. Why don't you give us the ratings for today?
We'll be discussing and rating these beers from Delaware with these suds rating plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a yo, bud.
Wow.
Yo, was that a belch? Ah, what a relief, yo. Yo, a body should really not make that sound. Four. Sorry, I wouldn't call it numbers. And number five, yo, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
So, I know Kat said they say thank yo.
So
but I don't think it's just yo. That almost just sounds like you're in Brooklyn or something. Like, yo. Is that a belch?
It's not yo.
It's yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Wait a second. Did I miss the memo?
I don't know if it's yo, yo. Yeah. Now, first she said yo, now she said yo, yeah. And then she said yo again. So I don't think we can trust Kat.
It's y'all.
Thank y'all.
All right.
Okay. Hey, y'all.
Okay. Let's get it. Let's
file your complaint.
Do some drinking here. Yes. Let's do some drinking. The first one that we are going to start with is the Diamond State Lager, their American Pilsner.
All righty. Mm-hmm.
The Pilsner style Diamond State Lager beer has origins in a recipe first brewed by Mr. Stokel in his Wilmington saloon in 1858. He began brewing his famous extra fine Pilsner on a larger scale in 1872 when he became associated with the brewery across town called Diamond State Brewery. Though the original Diamond State Lager beer recipe has been lost to history, Blue Earl Brewing Company has taken great care in reproducing this 100% all-grain Pilsner, true to the old Stokel way.
Hmm.
I love a clear beer.
I do too.
Well, first impression is it's sweet on the front end. You know, this reminds me of like a Mickey's Big Mouth. As you know, from a, yeah. It
I don't
really
know if it's that sweet to me, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it definitely is that malt liquor and kind of the, you know, the I call it the wang on the back end, you know.
Whoa. This is a family show. All right, No, we're not doing that.
Banned once again.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, and this is really a session strength beer as well, but it doesn't really strike me that way. I mean, it has a little more body to it. And
yeah.
I think part of it is the residual sweetness as well.
Yeah.
It finishes kind of dry for me, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We'll talk more.
Well, we'll be back in just a minute with more about this beer.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. So today we're doing a brewery takeover of a really nice brewery in Smyrna, Delaware, called Blue Earl Brewing. And the first beer that we started talking about was the Diamond State Lager, their American Pilsner. So, thoughts?
Still sweet.
Sweet on the front, bitter in the back.
A wangy bitter.
All right, we're not doing that.
This reminds me of a beer that you'd have to chug after you losing a pool game. That's what this reminds me of.
So a classic American Pilsner.
Yeah,
it is.
It's like I wouldn't go to the bar and pick this, but I would probably have to drink it after I would lose a game of pool. That's what this reminds me of.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we keep it within historic context, this is really to style.
Yeah, really? It's definitely a Pilsner, an American Pilsner, I would say. Yeah.
Think it's got a little adjunct in it there, Mark? Or?
Well, they say 100% all-grain Pilsner. I don't, you know, I don't get the rice thing. But.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Kat?
I like a full-bodied beer. It's a little weak.
A little weak for you? Okay. Fair enough. How about you, Juliana?
It's got this maltiness to it that I can't, like, it's still there throughout the whole entire thing. And I'm just trying to.
That's what I'm talking
about. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's, and it is a little thin. I know, 5% lower, but.
I'm telling you, if you had a Mickey's Big Mouth, you'd be going, I really don't know the difference between these two. So
If you can't tell the difference between this and a Mickey's, dude.
But maybe for the person that might be used to those macro beers and wants to try a craft version of that, then this is a gateway for them.
And that's a good point.
It's better than a High Life, you know. But
yeah. So
all right.
Give them a good try on this one.
Well, we are going to rate the Diamond State Lager from Blue Earl a 3.
All right. Hey, by the way, our process today is we are tasting and rating all this on the fly. So we have not, you're hearing all of this in real time as we're tasting this today. So if you listen to some of our other shows, we have a different process. So I thought I'd just own up to the fact that we didn't have a lot of time to think about it. And that's a good thing.
Well, I think this is better. I mean, it's a little more.
Yeah, no, in the moment. I love our natural reaction to this, which is, wow, that really sucks. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, next beer. Okay.
It's kind of like speed dating with beer.
All right, moving on to the Honeysuckle Rose, a Belgian-style blonde ale, 7.1% ABV. Sounds this like beer takes be its name from Honeysuckle Rose, a 1929 song composed by Fats Waller.
Are you there?
And was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1999. A moderate strength golden ale that has subtle Belgian complexities, slightly sweet flavors of orange and lemon, and a dry finish. It uses Pilsner, Munich specialty malts, and then Hallertau
and Liberty.
Liberty, yeah.
This tastes like Willie Nelson's tour bus.
You mean just the sticky parts rose. Left over? Yeah.
And isn't that the cannabis? Because...
Dave, are you licking the bong again?
Willie Nelson's cannabis?
Nice. Wow, resins.
Mm. Wow. No, it's definitely got that Belgian
it really
wang
does.
To it. Yeah, mm-hmm. There, I said it, Mike. Yeah,
the... You know, the banana thing is definitely all over this.
Juicy fruit.
Yeah, and a lot of juicy fruit. I think the thing that struck me about it, this is very well balanced. I kept on looking for some flaw, you know, through the entire aspect, and it had a great start. Mid palate was really good, and a great finish. I thought the whole thing was very well balanced. Yeah, I thought it was a very well done Belgian blonde.
I can tell why this is popular there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the looking around, like I say, in the package stores and so forth. This was the one that was always going out the door. Nice. And some people paid for it too.
Wow. All right.
I'd buy it.
Well, you know, the thing I love about the styles, it's kind of a step back from, you know, Hefeweizen and without all of that coriander really coming around. And so this is definitely for, I'm going to call it the shock top crowd without the orange. You know, this is definitely that beer that's in that.
Yeah, it's not as, you know, with all that weedy-ness that comes through in a Hefeweizen. What do you think, JB?
I like it a lot. Again, this is another gateway for people that are used to that whole shock top, you know, kind of crowd. Now going into something that's crafty, you could tell there's a lot of love in this one. And just nice, smooth throughout from beginning to end. Good really, really beer. Nice. Yeah. And it makes me realize what I don't like about some of the wheats with the coriander in it. You know, that I like not having that in this beer, if that makes any sense.
I am betting that this is a bestseller, you know, at their tap room, and probably something that they've made a whole lot of this, because I can see this appealing to a very broad range of palates.
Sure. Yeah. Matt, what do you think?
I love it. I'll have another.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. All right. Well, we are going to rate the Honeysuckle Rose a 4.
Well, this brings us to our topic worth discussing for today. You know, here, one of the things we've been doing at Sip, Suds, and Smokes is we've been making fun of Canadians for the last 10 years. So,
banned once again.
You know, but it's really time that we move from the point of just eliciting problems, you know, with our fair neighbors to the point that we offer some creative solutions. And I've also noticed that they don't have a national sport that they can win. So, you know, I really think that it's time that we Make an active campaign to help bring a national sport to Canadians that they have the hope, the skill, the will of winning a national sport.
So you're saying, like, you know, people took hockey away from Canada? Is that what you're saying?
I think they gave it up. So, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, if you can't drag the Stanley Cup back across the border, you know, then I think that it's time that you just need to admit hockey is not your national sport. I'm sorry, you know?
Ooh. Yeah, but they have the farm team still going. They're feeding the teams in the United States.
So you're saying we're paying the big U.S. dollars, and that's the reason why we're winning?
I think that's about right.
I like the fact that we can just crush them with capitalism.
Exactly. All right.
So this is the kickoff of our Curling for Canadians campaign, because I think that curling is definitely within the realm of embracing the, you know, cultural heritage that Canadians bring, you know, to the mix. They have these really cool, I mean, I love the entire makeup of the team. I mean, you have the pushers,
the
sweepers, you know, scraper. Yeah. I mean, you have all of these names, you know, for, you know, people on the team.
Let's give a little curling ambiance here.
Oh man, that's music. That's
the sweepers. The sweepers, you know, are sweeping.
The thing I love is that you're yelling across the entire room. Like the Rock is going to hear you. Sweep, sweep, sweep. Hard, 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 hard. It's like, is there a training class to learn how to communicate in a curling team? Do you practice, you know, in advance? Do you really think there's crowd applause in a curling game? Or is it just the deafening dud of the Rocks hitting each other?
It gets pretty intense in some of those curling matches.
I'm telling you. So
listen, you've never seen a brawl until you've seen a curling
brawl. I want to hear trash talk in Canadian. What would this sound like, Dave?
No, 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 no. We are polite. We are Canadians.
Why would I trash talk them? They haven't done nothing wrong to me or my team. All I'm saying is everybody's playing right. So if they want to win, they better play better than us. That's all I can say.
Man, that'll...
I'm telling you, that is intimidating.
That's borderline.
That makes me quake. That almost makes me want to wear funny shoes and hop on the ice.
That's borderline hate speech in Canada.
I'm telling you, you know? Yeah, I mean, think of the sponsorships that we could have. We could have like an entire league of curling, you know, sponsored by Sipsuds and Smokes. I can hear Saskatchewan alone saying, please don't bring this to us.
The Saskatchewan Sippers.
Yes, there you go. So, but, you know, I really think it's time that, you know, we really help them fund a national sport.
But so you give Canada a big boost for curling and say, this is your national sport.
Absolutely.
Then America just comes and takes it away from them like they did hockey.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think we have what it takes to step up. I don't think we can wear those shoes. We can do it for bowling, but I don't think we can do it for curling.
Man, you know, the curling community is going to rise up against us.
The thing is I've been wondering, are those sweeper sticks, are they made out of aluminum, graphite? What's the flex point on those things?
I think they're made out of maple.
Maple?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
So you can hear so they don't really have to, do Canadians still say, I'm sorry, while they're playing curling?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry I hit your rock. I'm sorry. You know.
You never hit your opponent's rock.
Yeah. Okay. You know.
I don't know what the rock's called. So
you need to ask the pusher.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right. Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
Pusher's going to push, right?
You know, the thing I haven't seen in curling is effective drinking. You know, so I think that if they combine.
That happens before and after.
I would say before, during, and after. Absolutely, yes. So we need to come up with, you know, a good drink to go with the. With the new national sport for Canadians, you know.
Moosehead with a shot of maple syrup.
I knew that was coming. It wasn't even like... I was thinking of a Mai Tai with a back chaser of Molson, but yeah. That's all right. I like Dave's better, you know. So, yeah.
We'll call that the sweeper.
I mean, what would the curling farm teams look like, you know, in Canada, you know?
It's like, yeah, probably like they just came off a farm.
Okay, so this is how you lift the rock, all right? This is how you put the rock on the ice and you push it.
I imagine there's a lot of denim.
A lot of denim involved.
Lots of denim. Yeah. Canadian tuxedos.
Oh, jeez.
And mullets.
So listen, we're going to have to, you know, solicit for your assistance for us to help bring a new national sport to Canada. Our suggestion, we're sponsoring Curling for Canada. If you want to help us with this, you know, drop us a note. Let us know how we can help Canadians, you know, embrace curling. So
yes. Send your suggestion tape to a six-pack of Molson Triple X.
Correct, right.
Okay.
All right, so back to the beer from Delaware.
Back to Delaware. Yes. Let's get back to Delaware, guys.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on, let's talk about a Clockwork Orange,
yes.
A fresh orange juice pale ale, only 4.9% ABV, brewed with Pilsner, flaked oats, wheat, and lactose, kettle hopped with Mandarina Bavaria, then dry hop with Cascade and Lemon Drop. An abundance of fresh squeezed OJ is added to the brew, producing a delightfully refreshing citrus flavor and aroma.
Kind of orangey.
It's very orangey.
Yeah. Oh, it reminds me like an Orange Crush.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Orangina.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Orange knee high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A little sweet.
Fanta. Orange Fanta.
Yeah. What's the ABV on this one again?
4.9.
Oh, man. Mm. You get wrecked on this.
Yeah.
And the lactose, you can get a little, just a little of that extra push.
Yeah,
there's a little slip to it.
It gives a little that body too. Yeah, what do you think about this, Kat?
It's too orangey.
Mm-hmm. Too orangey?
Yeah.
It's overdone.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's hitting me is that, I don't know, it seems too sweet to me.
When I want to drink orange juice, I'll drink orange juice.
Could you make a cocktail out of this? Like with would it be something that a mimosa?
If I wanted it to taste like a cocktail, I'd order a cocktail.
Exactly.
Make a screwdriver with this.
Well, I mean, if you were in a bind, I guess you can add something.
Welcome to Tailgating Beer Cocktails with good old gal Juliana. All right, so this doesn't taste really that good. So here's how you adulterate it to the point that it's actually good. Just pour a lot of vodka into it. You'll be so hammered, you have no idea how much orange is in this.
Well, it's good for the children.
Yes.
Yes.
Like for me, I don't really go for this, but it's not bad, right? Like it doesn't offend me, turn me on.
No, I mean.
No, and I think also this kind of comes from a home brewing sort of, you know, trial and error. No. But that's exactly the way it goes. It's like there are a lot of one-offs that, for whatever reason, there's a public out there
that likes that. It has to be successful.
Likes the peculiar beer you've come up
with. There's some dudes that are drinking some Clockwork Orange right now.
Yeah.
Ultraviolet.
It would be good for sitting on the beach.
Yeah. And if you think about, you know, how close it is, relatively speaking, to Milford and to the shore,
right,
then I could see this being something that, you know, and because it's in a can, why not?
This comes across to me like, if there was some regional thing where people pour a little orange juice in a beer, you know, like a Radler or something, it would almost be like that.
Sure.
Like, and then they're recreating that just in the beer.
Well, I don't think this is an execution issue. I think the beer itself is well made. I think it's just a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Right. So it's just not your jam. Is that what you're saying? It's not your marmalade.
You know, you're seeing a lot of the blood orange stuff, though, too. You know, everywhere. Yeah.
It's good with vodka.
Yeah. And Goza, you know, blood orange Goza, it definitely works. But
this
does not work. I don't know. I just think it's a screwed up pale ale is what I think. You know.
And the lactose.
Is that your official rating, Dave?
I'm speaking out on behalf of Blue Earl.
I'm Big Earl's fans there. You like my fresh orange juice pale ale, buddy.
I think they made it. They like you say, they executed it properly. Yeah. It's just
a bad idea.
It's almost like one of those early hazy New England, you know, juice bombs.
Right, you know? Right.
Where it's just like no hop bitterness. But this has a little bit at the end, but it's very little. What'd you think, JB? Yeah.
I can't get past the lactose at the end that's making the orange taste like tang. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm getting that powderiness, and I'm just wondering about how many pale ales I've had that have actually had lactose in them and why
it's a bad idea.
One would do that to a pale ale.
Guess what they should call this beer?
Sorry,
it's a bad idea.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we are going to rate A Clockwork Orange a 2. Now, let's move on to something that we are more familiar with, something called the Hazy IP, or yeah, Hazy at Heart IPA.
A 2-row.
Which, interestingly, is a session. It's 5% ABV, brewed with 2-row oats, wheat, and lactose, then double dry hop with Citra, Mosaic, and Cascade.
Really?
Now, I like this. This is getting it
especially
done.
For a session strength. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is very flavorful.
This does not taste session-y.
No, like, it doesn't. I mean, no. Yeah, it's kind of deceptive.
But it comes in, it's like, boom, and then it's gone. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. This feels like a knockdown, you know, IPA a bit. It, and I don't know if it's just the lactose is bringing the softening, you know, a bit of the bittering component around this, but it feels like it was really big and then they decided to knock it down a bit, which is not bad.
This has lactose in it?
Yes. And lactose right there on the page.
Okay, tough guy.
Easy. Let's not fight now.
Yeah.
Don't be pushing, pusher.
Well, you know, it definitely has a great hop blend, you know, with Citra, Mosaic, and Cascade. I would say the, I don't know, the Cascade seems to be tossing things off just a bit, but it's definitely bringing a West Coast feel around it.
Yeah, it is. And honestly, I find that really refreshing these days.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's just because, you know, so many hazy IPAs have that, you know, Mosaic as a foundation.
Which they should because it's the best hop ever.
Because it's the best hop ever. Yes, Dave. If we're well aware of your tattoos. So
Mosaic is my stripper name.
Yeah.
Put your clothes on.
Give me my dollar.
Well, we'll be back with more in just a brief minute. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Welcome back, everyone. So for those of you just tuning in, we are doing a brewery takeover of Blue Earl Brewing in Smyrna, Delaware. So the beer that we were talking about right before the break was the Hazy at Heart IPA. And we liked it so much, we are going to rate it a 4.
Hurrah!
So, Reverend Mark and Kat.
Yeah.
Talk about the trip.
Oh,
talk
well,
about Delaware.
It well, was a trip.
It was a trip. A long, hazy trip. No, it was a return home trip. That's where my family, part of my family, lives now. Kat and I have been joined together as partners and brew partners and partners in life and everything else. And so we went to Delaware to be with family and to just scout around and turn up all the local libations that are locally sourced and locally made. And so Blue Earl is certainly one place that we knew about immediately. my brother-in-law told me about it right off the bat. He says, you need to go there. They're kind of like just pretty much one of the go-to places, especially on the weekends, this whole love for the blues. There are a lot of cover bands that are playing. That's, you know, for people as old and decrepit as me, it's just beautiful music. Yeah. No, it's really, really good.
Old and broke down.
And no, he won't dance.
Yeah. All right, y'all get out your walkers. And one, and two, and three.
You got to get a few more beers in him.
He's all over the floor.
Let's get them bicycle horns in the MC.
Reverend down.
He must be on the floor curling.
Yeah, right.
Curled up in a ball.
I got lost in my way to Canada for the curling trials.
Thank you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yes. There you go. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Well, cool. Very cool.
But yeah, so it's a time to, you know, connect with family and just to kind of get the local terroir, you know, the taste of the earth there.
Yeah. Well, I think it's safe to say that Delaware is a very comfortable, laid back state, you know. Very friendly too.
They don't have enough people to be uptight or unfriendly.
And you don't burn your bridges in Delaware.
Yeah, right.
They only have three counties and you have to get That's off right. the island. Yes. Okay, man. All right.
You're always going to run across.
Many county judges that you can pay off. That's right. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. You know, and one of the bridges that goes like over the Delaware River, I think into New Jersey, you can go over there for free, but coming back, you have to pay to get out of New Jersey.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Actually, people are willing to do that.
That's probably the best money making scheme ever.
I'll give you a double.
So, Kat, when you have these beers, does it feel like home? Does it feel like, you know, a good representation of the region?
No,
because
I don't really take pride in Delaware beer. I just love beer in general.
Okay,
so it doesn't matter where it's made. It's just got to be good.
There you go.
I agree with you. I there are many beers, but only some of them are good.
Well, I think, you know, most people think about Delaware beer, all they think about is Dogfish.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. But it's nice to kind of expand everyone's knowledge and palate.
Well, I also think of National Bohemian.
Well, that's more.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I know, but it's there in Delaware, too.
You just like to think about National Bohemian, though.
Yeah. I know.
No matter where it's at.
Yeah. I know.
All right, next big beer here.
All right.
The big beer.
Talk about a big beer.
This
Bourbon Barrel Imperial Stout, 12.4% ABV.
Oh, my goodness.
Wrap that around your head.
I need to work my elbow. Right.
So this bourbon barrel stout is brewed with a complexity of malts and Hershey's cocoa and endless amounts of love.
Wow.
Infused with cocoa nibs and fresh roasted Nicaragua/Mexico blend of coffee beans from their local roaster, the Little Goat. It's aged in freshly dumped Buffalo Trace bourbon barrels for 9 months and then blended with a base beer for perfection.
Mike, you're the main whiskey dude. What do you think the Buffalo Trace is giving this beer?
A break. You know, every time, I mean, that's, you know, when we talk about things that are barrel aged, you know, is the barrel overtaking the beer or is it complementing the beer?
Yeah.
You know, is there more booze than beer or beer than booze? And in this case, there's actually more beer than booze.
Yeah.
So that's why I said
kind of knocking the edge off.
It's actually
giving
everything a break. So it's not overwhelming. Definitely the thing that's hitting me up front is the intensity of, you know,
there's a lot going on.
I'm telling you, it's like I need to. Whoa. It's like, whoa. Hey, I'm gonna sip this, you know. There's a lot going on. The intense bitterness from all of those components,
the chocolate and the coffee.
It's the chocolate. Yep. It is definitely the coffee, the cocoa
dark,
nibs.
Probably the dark malts are giving some bitterness there.
It really is, you know. But there's a lot in balance too around this, you know, as well. So I'm really finding that
I like that it's not too sweet.
Yep.
You know, because it easily could have been.
It really could have been. And when you see a list of ingredients like this, you know, that's your first.
You get worried.
This is, yeah, that's exactly right, JB. Is, you know, it's like, okay, yeah. You need to take four things out and, you know, you'll have something.
There's a nice lingering bitterness on this beer, yeah. Right? That really, that's kind of what you want, because if you just, it would be too much of a dessert beer, I think, if it didn't have that, you know, kind of cleaner, bitter finish.
Right. And I think also it's bitter rather than tannic.
Because
that can happen very easily with one of these big, dark, you know, beers. It's
like a roasted coffee, chocolate, bitter, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Maybe, probably the hops, too, because I think it's got a pretty good IBU on it. So
62 IBU.
Yeah, so that's.
And what I also like about this beer in terms of just it being a locally sourced beer, of course, is that they're using the Hershey's Cocoa, which Hershey's is just down the road.
Yep.
Yeah. And just up the Hershey Highway.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I thought we talked about this, Dave.
We talked about you.
Oh.
First off, we were never going to mention the Hershey Highway, and we would never use the words up the Hershey Highway.
Yeah. But yet, now he said it three times.
I think all you and I agreed is that we were never going to go up the Hershey Highway.
Yeah. Definitely not holding hands.
Especially with each other.
And so, in terms of the curling, you know, team, which person would be on the Hershey Highway?
The pusher?
The pusher or the cracker?
Oh, my God. What have I started? Oh my goodness.
It's not going to be the sweeper.
Another proud
moment. You do not want to be the sweeper on the Hershey Highway.
What are those positions again?
Well, there's a fifth position.
Oh, yeah.
I can feel it coming on, which is we're going to be banned. Yep.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, actually, I was
good. Absolutely. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think and the more I'm sipping on this, the thing it reminds me of, somebody gave me a small box of dark chocolate covered dates.
Oh, wow.
And that's really what this reminds me of, because it has, you know, components of, you know, that of really dark fruit and those sugars around it, but it has, you know, all the rich bitterness, you know, to really kind of counteract the sugars that were kind of on the fruit side. And definitely that's kind of, you know, bringing me back. It's, you know, there's some Belgian strongs that, you know, we've had that it's kind of approaching that raisin component to it as well.
Yeah. I had to try it again, but I do get that slight raisin mm-hmm. kind of thing, like mm-hmm. right in the middle. It's cool.
Yeah. And I like the coffee. It was locally sourced again. I mean, of course, the beans came from Mexico, but it's a local roaster. And so, yeah, I think that really captures the spirit of being, you know, like a brew pub slash, you know, home brewer backyard guy trying to give the neighbors just what's in the area.
It's really cool. Like, you see a lot of breweries when they make these big coffee stouts and stuff, they try to partner with a local roaster, mm-hmm. you know, just mm-hmm. It's a good thing. Kat, what do you think?
I love it. It's not just for breakfast anymore.
There you go.
Fair enough.
I like this beer a lot. This is definitely, this is probably the keeper of the flight so far for me.
Me too.
Yeah. This is a Willy Wonka adventure to me.
Yep.
Because you're going from roast and you get cacao, and then you're getting dark fruits.
Okay, and
yeah, the only thing that I guess I wish there was maybe a tiny amount more barrel-ishness of it. But other than that, it's, yeah, and the fact that it's not so sweet.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know how long they kept it in the barrel.
Nine months.
I don't think a lot.
9 months. So
wow,
like,
that's a lot longer than I would have thought.
I would think like maybe.
There had been a lot more wood, I would have thought, with 9 months.
Or maybe more.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
In the barrel.
Yeah.
I'm just not getting that aspect of it as much as I would have expected for it being at the 9 month mark. Right. But really, this is what I enjoy about stouts mm-hmm. when they're done well, is that they're not overly saturated with vanilla and, you know, sweetness.
It'd be interesting to know if like they're doing a separate run where they keep some back for like a longer time in the barrel. That would be a really interesting thing.
Well, we are going to rate the Bourbon Barrel Imperial Stout a 4.
I said 5. Just so you know, Blue Earl, I said 5, but they told me 4.
Okay, so we have a couple minutes left. Let's talk about the bonus beer.
Bonus beer.
And this bonus beer is a very colorful girl, isn't she?
I just want to point out that the color of this is the same thing as the Ricola cough drop in front of me. So these are exactly the same heinous shade of raspberry.
Okay. Hater. Mm. Oh, what looks we like are talking about is Give Up the Fruit. Raspberry, blackberry, strawberry, marshmallow, sour.
Mike,
5.5% ABV. It's a smoothie.
Yep.
We got any more of that stout?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I'm telling you, just a touch of the.
I was going to say, put a little stout in this stout.
Well, the other way around, but, you know.
Okay, so
it's like a jawbreaker.
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay, so on a summer day,
icky,
where it's really warm,
icky,
and
wow,
icky. You
icky.
I think that
I'll have a bud.
Mommy, please don't make it's me just drink
very,
anymore.
It's very thick.
And it like, is.
It's coating.
No, it is coating. It's like cough syrupy
it is like
coating.
Really bad cough syrup.
I think the flavor's nice, but it's like
But
I can't drink a lot of it.
Okay, but is this a beer?
No.
Right. Nah, right. Like, I mean,
what's a beer anymore?
I know. Okay. I think if we cut this with some tonic, it would be like a like a hard seltzer.
I'm telling you, you put about not quite 50-50 that in that stout.
I did.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was just turned into a bad idea at that point.
I like it. Because they do things to each other.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
You know what I'm saying? Hershey Highway. You know what I'm saying?
But.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so
it does say give up the fruit.
We're trained professionals, everybody.
Cat will never be back.
Yeah. But in this day and age where
always have an slushies exit strategy.
Are the thing, right? Well, at least they were last summer. Slushies were a thing.
Yeah.
If you threw some ice and you threw it in a blender, sure. For somebody that doesn't like beer and doesn't like things that are hoppy, they would like slushy. This.
And people that like Kool-Aid.
I think this would be
pretty much.
Don't write this beer off. I really think
you're
onto something here. It needs to be combined with some shaved ice, and it's what you give to the kids in the backseat when they're wondering when we're going to get there.
Exactly. Right. Yes, right.
After a while, they're just going to be happy to be going along for the ride.
Instead of Benadryl, you give them this.
And just like convince the ombudsman that we are not ABV. Promoting alcohol with children.
Right.
Yeah, babies can handle that.
Yeah. I mean,
well, my parents just used chloroform and a rag.
Yeah.
My dad used Jack Daniels when we were teething.
Right.
I hear you. Rock and run for me. Yeah. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
My parents.
Lots of threats. So right here. So.
My parents never got their helicopter permit.
At least definitely not down by the river, that's for sure.
I think, you know, coming off that big, impressive stout, this was
such a letdown. Oh, my God.
It's just different.
Why did you bring this back?
You know, this one, I think one of the things is reminding me of is like suicide of all of the
slushies.
Fruited drinks that somebody says, you know, I'm just going to take 2 ounces of each of this and stick it into a
like
bottle.
A slush puppy.
Yes.
When you do the suicide slush puppy.
A suicide slush puppy. This is that nasty. You know, it's just,
I don't think it's that nasty. I wish that
it had just picked a fruit to have at least something concentric
around
it.
It would be good with champagne.
Ooh, see?
Yeah, see? Great.
For what it is.
Yeah.
I'm fighting against his.
Okay.
All right. You guys call it.
We are going to give Up the Fruit
a break.
in the sense of the purest.
You're gonna promote that to Canada.
Beer tastings, this is a 2.
Okay. Till I say it was a 3. That's right.
Thank you, Dave.
Well,
executive privilege. Executive
privilege. That is going to do it for us today.
Really?
Yes.
We had to end on that note.
We did, yes.
Something has the word beer. Marshmallow in it.
It's expired and gone to see its maker.
That's for sure. Okay.
Good old boy Mike, say goodbye.
Hey, I hope you come back to another exciting episode here of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Reverend Mark, thank you so much for being here.
I am so pleased, always, and especially today, with my lovely wife.
Good old gal Kat, thank you so much for being here with us, and thanks for bringing a little bit of Delaware down here.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Good old boy Dave.
I don't like Mike.
Stay off the highway.
Do you want a Ricola cough drop to make it feel better? Is that our peace sign?
This is good old gal Juliana. Thank you so much for joining us today. Keep on chuggling, and we'll catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.